Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractors Business Tape CD of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Granting Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's presentation is by Bill Kennard. Bill has 20 years' experience in telephone sales, service management, sales management, and customer service. He has worked with companies both large and small and has a unique ability to connect with people. He has been recognized for best practices by Carrier Corporation for technical and customer service training and has conducted over 10,000 student hours of technical training and over 2,500 student hours of customer service training. As a result of his unique style and professionalism, Bill was awarded the Richard Theoret Training Excellence Award in 1993. He was the youngest trainer ever to receive this distinguished recognition. This month, Bill is going to share from his unique perspective some very practical, customer-focused ideas in the area of customer service. Now sit back and relax while Bill shares about how the little things mean a lot when it comes to outstanding customer service.
Welcome to Providing Great Customer Service. Little things mean a lot. Today we're going to talk about providing great customer service in a manner that will pay dividends to your company for years down the road. When we're talking about customer service, we ask ourselves, well, why can't our customers just be satisfied? Why can't we just go about our business doing things the way we feel best, and our customers would just take it from there, accept our best effort, and be satisfied with it? Unfortunately, that's not the case. It's not what happens. Our customers today are far smarter than they were years ago. With the implementation of the internet, customers can go out, find incredible amounts of information that we didn't even have access to a number of years ago. How many times have you had a customer call you where the customer already knows specifically the model number, the features, the benefits of a given product that they're looking for? All they're really looking for is a source to buy that product. There's no selling involved, and that really puts you as a contractor at a disadvantage. If there's no selling involved, what makes your company any better than the guy down the street that can provide the same product? What makes our company unique, what allows us to outperform our competition, is our level of customer service. It's your company. It's not the product name brand. Anybody can provide a product name brand. Only you can provide a consistent level of exceptional customer service. So our customers are far better informed than they were years ago. They've got the information at their fingertips. They can get literature. They can get service manuals. They can get installation manuals. Again, years ago, we couldn't even get our hands on that kind of information. Customers seem never to be satisfied. We live in a world that I call the McDonald's generation. I want it fast. I want it now. And I want it the way I want it. That's not something that we can change in our customers. And if we can't change it, then we have to change to accept it. We have to be able to give our customers the things that they want when they want them. That's providing that customer service. There's a number of inhibitors to customer service, a number of things that make it difficult to provide a consistent, high level of customer service. Let's take a look at some of these. The first of those is labor costs. Labor costs today are far more expensive than they were years ago. Number of things that make up labor costs consists of insurances, be it health insurance, medical insurance, unemployment insurance, workman's comp. All those things are additional costs that we didn't have to bear years ago. We've got the cost of outfitting a new service technician or a new employee. If it's going to be a service technician, we may have to buy a new truck, put the racks in the truck, buy all the tools, buy a whole new set of inventory for in that truck so they can go out and perform service calls and generate revenue for your company. All of that stuff costs a lot more than it did years ago. Also, with regard to labor costs, there's really fewer people today to do the same job that we had years ago. And we can look at this from two different aspects. Number one, there is definitely a shortage of qualified people in the trades industries. That's been going on for a number of years and will continue for the foreseeable future. This being the case, we have to do everything we can possibly do to get the best, most qualified technicians working for our companies. The second way we can look at this is that there are really far more products that we're dealing with today than there were 15, 20 years ago. With a lot more products, we really need more people to deal with them. In many cases, our companies still have the same number of people working that we did 15 or 20 years ago. And that being the case, there are fewer man hours to do the same work, actually to do more work, than we had a number of years ago because of the fact that we have more products. Voicemail, pagers, cell phone, all make us far more accessible than we were years ago. Now, on one hand, you can say that this is good. This will enable me to provide a better level of customer service. Well, possibly. On the other hand, it also makes us far more accessible. And what I mean by that is we constantly have people calling us, putting demands on our time. We no longer have the drive time from one job to the next to plan that next job, to think about the next bid that we have to put together, to think about long-range plans that we're formulating in our mind. Far more demands today on our time than we had years ago. Makes it more difficult to maintain a high level of customer service when those demands are put on our time. The technical advances in equipment also make it harder to provide exceptional customer service. Since the products that we're dealing with today are far more technologically advanced than they were years ago, it takes a lot more for us to keep up to date with them. As soon as we think we finally have it all figured out, one of our suppliers comes out with a new fancy widget that our customers want. We again have to go learn how to fix it, learn how to install it, learn how to make it perform to its optimum levels. That takes additional time. That additional time takes away from our providing a high level of service. Customers' expectations are rising. They demand more to be satisfied. It's that McDonald's generation I talked about. That's something that it's a world that we live in today, and we have to keep that in mind. The products that are offered, quite frankly, also make it more difficult to provide a great level of customer service. And what I mean by that is that there's really less product differentiation today. There's far more name brands on the market today, regardless of the industry that you're in, whether it's heating and cooling, whether it's plumbing, whether it's electrical, it doesn't really matter. Many manufacturers are trying to capture more of the consumer dollar. And one of the ways that they figure that they can do this is to provide the same product to the market with two different name brands. As a result, you have two different contractors competing for the same consumer dollar with really the same product. They're going to sell it as two different products, but it's really the same product. As a result, product differentiation becomes less and less. And if there's less differentiation in the products, the differentiation better be within your company. Again, if there is no difference between you and your competitor, why should your customer buy from you? Governmental restrictions make it harder to provide a great level of customer service. Here in the year 2005, we're currently in the midst of government regulations wreaking havoc on the HVAC industry. Within a year from now, in many cases, 80 or 90% of manufacturers' complete air conditioning line will be obsolete. It'll be obsolete because of a government regulation. Manufacturers are scrambling to design and create and put in place new lines of equipment to replace their entire line today. That is a barrier to customer service. And on top of all these things is the fact that we have to remember that our customers are bread and butter. Without them, we have no job. Without our customer, there is no reason for our company to exist. There's no need for the services that we provide. We have to strive every day to satisfy our customers' needs, be it real or unreal. So let's dig into this a little bit farther. Why do our customers do business with us? And why do our customers leave? 4% of customers stopped doing business with their current supplier of business because they felt that the price was unfair. Now, this is a group of customers that you don't want to spend a lot of time worrying about. Number one, it's 4% of the total. Number two, you will always have a small group of customers with a prime focus of price. And every time that you lower your price to get that job, there will be a competitor out there that says, I can beat him. And it's a constant downward spiral. This is a group of customers that, if you stop and think about it, it's the contractors that know the least about their business that are tending to set the price in the market. Do you really want to be playing in that arena? The next group of customers, 9% of them, become unserviceable. The average American today changes residences every 5 to 7 years. Customers are moving out of your service area all the time. New customers are moving into your service area. People just are no longer there. Another reason that customers may become unserviceable is that they pass away. At that point, your services are no longer needed. Again, this is a section that you really can't do a lot about. 12% of customers stop doing business with their current supplier because they're disappointed. They're either disappointed in the products, in the services. They're disappointed in something that you have done for them. Your company didn't meet their needs. 16% of customers accepted a competitive offer. Now stop and think about this one just a little bit. If they accepted a competitive offer, that is not the same thing as they felt your price was too high. They simply felt that there was more value in your competitor's offer than in your offer. And I'll come back to this one in just a minute. 55% of customers leave because of an attitude towards the customer. It's either a feeling of indifference or there's no contact with the customer whatsoever. They feel that you don't care. Now, if we take a look at that segment, 12% leave because they're disappointed. 16% accept competitive offers. And 55% leave because of an attitude of indifference toward the customer. That's almost 80%, more than 80%, that leave for reasons that you have full control over. The customers were disappointed. We need to find out why they're disappointed. Where did we fall short? What do we need to do to make it right? 16% because of a competitive offer. Again, it's not because the price was too high. Several years ago, a friend of mine was building a house in my neighborhood. He went out, selected a builder, they agreed upon a design. And my friend had asked the builder to talk directly to the heating contractor because he wanted to make sure his house was comfortable. The heating contractor gave him a price. Wasn't quite sure that all of his desires were met. So he went out and saw his own heating contractor. Sat down with this heating contractor and was questioned in depth about what he wanted. What was important to him in terms of comfort? How did he define comfort within his home? This second heating contractor gave a price that was $10,000 higher than the original bid. Almost 35% higher. Who got this job? The contractor with the higher bid. And the reason why is because he took the time to find out what the customer needed. What did the customer want? How did he define comfort? In this particular situation, he wanted his basement to be perfectly comfortable. Why? Because he was building an apartment down there that his mother-in-law would move into. He wanted her to be comfortable. The first contractor didn't get that. Didn't understand it, didn't feel that that was really important. He was providing the system he felt the customer needed. The second contractor was providing the system that my friend wanted. It's not always the price is too high. The last section, 55% because of an attitude towards the customer. You need to have somewhere between 4 and 7 contacts with your customer per year just to keep your name in front of them. So when they do have a problem, that they remember, oh, Joe's is the contractor that I used last time. I need to call Joe and get him back here. Now this contact can come in several different forms. It can be maybe a door hanger. It can be a postcard as a reminder for a cleaning check. It can be just a note questioning how their system is doing. It's now been 6 months since it's been installed. Any kind of contact, just something to get your name in front of them. The customer at that point knows that you're thinking about them. They know that you care. That's what they want. Why do customers continue doing business with you? Well, 14% of them say that they continue doing business with their current supplier, their current contractors, because they were referred by a friend. Now think about it. If you're out looking for a car and your neighbor says, you know what, if I need a car, I go talk to, you know, my friend Joe down at the car dealership on the corner. I've bought several cars from Joe, and boy, he's taking care of me every time. He's my go-to guy. If I have problems with my vehicle, he lines up a loaner for me. Now, I may not know Joe at all, but if somebody that I trust tells me that he's the go-to guy, aren't I going to feel just a little bit more comfortable with him? Even though I don't know him, somebody I trusted trusts him. Makes a difference. 22% say that they owned another product of yours. Maybe years ago you installed a previous sink or bathtub or furnace or did some wiring, electrical work for them. They're comfortable with you. They have a relationship with you. That's important. 37% cite the relationship and trust. The relationship and trust. They know that you will be there for them. They know that you will take care of them. You have to build that relationship. People find that important. So with all this, we find ourselves wondering, well, how do we compete? What do the customers really want? And how do we differentiate ourselves from our competition to make us the contractor of choice? Well, in order to answer this question, we need to define customer service. What is customer service? Well, in general terms, customers want to feel that those who are taking their money truly deserve it. If I'm going to pay you for some services or goods, I want to know that you deserve to have this money. You took care of me. You satisfied my needs. That's what I'm paying for. Customers want the services that you provide. They want the satisfaction that you can provide. All of these things are little things. They're little things that are incredibly important. We're not talking about reinventing the wheel. We're talking about doing little things that mean a lot to the customer. It truly is a company's employees who make all the difference in the world. The difference is you. The difference is your service technicians. The difference is your installers. The difference is your dispatcher. The difference is every person within your customer who comes in contact with the customer. Because every time somebody from your company comes in contact with your customers, they're forming an impression of your company. Now, here's the tricky part. It's not just when you're going on a service call or you're going to install a new system that they just purchased from you. It's when one of your guys is driving down the road in the service truck with your name on the side of it. Are they courteous when they're driving, or do they cut people off? Customers will take note of that. The difference is you. Now, one thing that's absolutely critical as a business owner, you need to drive this fact home. If you don't demonstrate it in everything you do throughout the day, your employees will see this and your employees will emulate what you do. If it's not a hot button for you, it won't be a hot button for them. You need to emulate the difference. You need to set the pace within your company and define the standard that your company is going to live within. Now, let's define customer service a little bit more. Specifically, what makes up good customer service? As I look at it, I see six factors that are important. Number one, it's the job craft. Can you do the job, plain and simple? Do you have the technical expertise, the ability to do the job that you're hired to do? Now, everybody within a company has responsibilities. Everybody has a job to do. Can you do it? Then the second question is, if you're not the building or the business owner, whose responsibility is it to train you? As I view it, it's my responsibility to train me. If I want to excel at what I'm doing, if I want to be the best possible person doing the job that I'm doing, then it's up to me to go out and get the training and do the things that I need to do to improve my skills and improve my knowledge level. Can you do the job you're doing? The second area is interpersonal skills, communicating with, relating to, and being sensitive to the customer's needs. Now, this tends to be a little bit of a tricky one because a lot of people in the trades industries got into it because they like to fix things. They like to work with their hands. That was my case. And then you hire the service technician who's trained, likes to work with his hands, and he gets his own service truck and he thinks he's made it. And what's the first thing you're going to ask him to do? To talk to your customers. He doesn't want to talk to the customers. So many service technicians and installers do everything they can to avoid the customers. They see a great service call as a service call where the consumer isn't home, and they leave a key under the door. We need to train our people how to talk to our customers. We need to teach them the things to say, how to say them, and to pay attention to the words that they use. The third area of customer service is a positive attitude. Do you like to do the things that you do? Are you having fun in your job? Probably the best advice that I can give anybody I come in contact with is if you truly don't like your job, then find a different one. If you don't have a good attitude about your job, what you're doing, everybody can see it. You can see it in your employees, and your customers can see it in your employees. What is the message that we're giving to our customers? There's a job out there for everybody. I truly believe that. And we need to find the one that works best for you. The next area is the procedures. Ensuring a smooth, predictable sequence of events. Let me say that again. Ensuring a smooth, predictable sequence of events. Our customers have a right to expect that. Let me lay this out. Our customer calls our company. He needs a service call. You're going to dispatch a service technician out to the field, to their house. Your technician is going to go over there, diagnose the problem in an efficient manner, fix the problem, present the end user with a bill. Hopefully the consumer will pay it in a timely fashion. If he doesn't pay it, you may send them an invoice. They'll pay it after that. That's the perfect world. That's a smooth, predictable sequence of events that the customer has a right to expect. Now let's change that sequence just a little bit. Everything works fine. The consumer gets his problem taken care of. Your technician leaves the job site, and the ball is dropped right there. The end user never receives an invoice from your company until 6 months later. In month four and month five, what is that consumer thinking? He's thinking it's free, right? And now all of a sudden, 6 months after the work is done, he receives a bill from you. Now what is he thinking? Even if he was completely satisfied with the work that you did 6 months ago, he's not happy today because he thought he got that work for nothing. May not be right, may not be justified, but that's the impression that you're going to leave him with. We need to make sure that we follow a smooth, predictable sequence of events. If we're not going to make it for a 2 o'clock appointment, we need to call the customer and let him know we're not going to make it. We need to change his expectation so he's in tune with what we're doing. It's important. Next, communication and teamwork, the actions that enable two people to do more together than one person alone. We've all seen this. If you get two technicians who are working together, two installers, and they're just like oil and water, they're butting heads constantly. You know, one person is kind of grudging at the other, taking the tools that the other one needs. You know, you're trying to explain to the other person how to complete the next cast, and pretty soon you just, go sit in a truck, I can do it faster myself. On the flip side, if you get two individuals that work well together, they gel together, you've seen it. One person is anticipating what the other one is needing. Work is happening fast. It's happening smooth. People get along together. Your customers can see this. Heck, some service technicians or some installers work better together than they do with their spouse. That's true synergy. Things get done. Customers can see how well that works. It's important. The last one is continual learning. Amending the rules and procedures. Only make mistakes once. You need to consistently improve the total package. A number of years ago, I used to do a lot of training classes all over the state that I lived in. And at that point in time, at least once a year, I would take two or three of my key employees and have them come along with me to these training classes. Not because I needed them at the training class. It's because the drive was going to take 2 to 3 hours. And I wanted 2 to 3 hours of unbroken time where we could review the procedures that we used on a regular basis. Are the procedures that we're using at that point in time still relevant? Probably the most profound example of working through this process is that one particular time we had about 4 hours each direction. We're working through every step of the process from the time paperwork or parts came back to our company all the way to the time to issuing final credits to the customer. One of the steps that we looked at, we started asking, okay, why do we do this particular step? Is it needed today? Does it serve a purpose? And so, what is that purpose? After about an hour of conversation, we came to the conclusion that this particular step, a step which took over 8 man hours a week, was a step that was absolutely critical 10 years earlier before we had computerized our warranty process. Now that our warranty process was computerized, this step was really no longer needed. That being the case, it was eliminated. Now we'd go through this process at least once a year. Look at every step of how we're doing things and why are we doing it. Does it still make sense? Is there a need for it? If there is, great. Can we improve it? If there isn't, let's eliminate it. We need to continually improve the level of service that we're providing. Let's switch gears just a little bit now. What do people really buy? People are making decisions to buy things every day. What are they buying? We'll look at two quick examples. When you buy a set of airline tickets, what are you buying? I've got a friend who buys airline tickets, one airline, all the time. This guy flies 2 to 3 times a week, always with the same airline. Why is he buying that? What is he buying? He's not buying frequent flyer miles, although some people might be. He's not buying the great airline food, although some people might be. He's not buying a 2-week getaway. What he's buying is on-time arrivals. This particular airline is rated the highest on-time arrival rate in the country. And this guy lives and dies by on-time arrivals. He may get into a city at 10 in the morning, have a meeting at 11, and fly out later that day. Being there is important to him. That's what he's buying. When you go to a restaurant, what are you buying? Think about that. Some people are buying a great steak. Some people might be buying just the sound of that steak sizzling as it's brought up to the table. Other people might be buying the ambiance of the restaurant that it's in. They might be buying the incredible service that the wait staff provides. They might be buying just a quick in-and-out fast food meal because they don't have a lot of time. Or a mother of 3 children might be buying 20 minutes of quiet time at the fast food restaurant while the 3 kids are playing in the playland. What is the customer buying? You need to find out. In a nutshell, customers are buying product or service that does what they want it to do. They're buying efficiency from you in the way you work, the way you get things done, the way that you deal with them. They want honest and fair treatment. They want to feel good about their interaction with you. They want to feel important. They want to know that they matter to you. That's what they're buying. They don't care if you had a bad day yesterday. They don't want that to be taken out on them. They don't care if that you got into an accident on the way to their house. They want to be the most important person. That's what they're buying. It's at that point that we will truly define a moment of truth. A moment of truth is any contact between you and your customer during which the customer decides if your company is truly customer-focused or not. How do you handle the little things? How do you handle it when a customer pulls out in front of your service truck? Are you going to let them go by? Or are you going to be cussing at them out the window? Your customers will take notice. How are you going to handle it when you leave the job site? Will it be picked up? Will it be tidy? Or will you leave a mess? Your customers will notice that. Those are hot buttons for your customer. Those are things that they're looking for at and checking out to see what you're doing. It's important to them. Again, several years ago when I was working at the wholesale distribution level, one of the areas of responsibility that I had in my job was to handle customer complaints that came into us and use your customers who were calling in to file a complaint about the way their particular situation was handled. One of the things that I found is that many, many, many times it was the little things. It might be a installer who left screws on the floor as they left the job. It might be boxes either left in the basement or out on the front curb for the homeowner to dispose of instead of being put back in the truck and taken back to the shop for you to dispose of them. A contractor friend of mine has an agreement with all of his people. The directive that they're given is that you will leave the job site cleaner than when you got there. And if this means that you're going to sweep the basement floor, then you sweep the basement floor. If this means that you're going to rearrange some of the stuff around the furnace to make it tidier, then that's what you do. If this means that you do nothing more than break out the bottle of Pledge and wax the furnace and water heater before you leave the basement, then that's what you do. Little things. And they're all moments of truth. Moments of truth that make a big difference. It's important. Above all, when you're dealing with customer satisfaction, you need to define within yourself who's responsible for it. You're responsible for it. If you're encountering the customer, you're responsible for it. And the thing you have to remember is you can't always control how others act. You can control how you're going to react. Just because a customer yells doesn't mean you have to yell back. They're looking at those little things. It's important to them. You need to take responsibility for customer satisfaction. We're going to take a little customer complaint quiz. See if you can answer these questions properly. Number one, if customers don't complain, it must mean that we're performing well. We're doing our job great, right? Number two, we can afford to lose just one customer. After all, it's only one, right? True or false? Number three, even if we resolve the customer complaints, the customers will still feel bad about us, so we've lost them anyway. True or false? Number four, customers enjoy complaining. True or false? And number five, we should make it difficult to complain so that only the genuine cases get through. So what do you think? True or false? So let's take a look at these five a little bit closer. Number one, if customers do not complain, it must mean that we are performing well. False. 96% of unhappy customers don't bother complaining to you. They do bother complaining to other people. We need to keep our customers happy. We can afford to lose one customer. After all, it is only one, right? Wrong. It's never just one. You never lose just one. On average, each unhappy customer will tell 10 other people of the poor service. On average, each absolutely elated customer will tell 3 other people about their positive experience. That means that you have to have at least 3 times more absolutely highly elated people than you do unhappy customers just to break even. It's far more expensive to attract a new customer than it is to retain an existing one. Pick the low-hanging fruit. Take care of the customers that you have. The next one. Even if we resolve the complaints, customers will still feel bad about us, so we've lost them anyway, right? Wrong. Exactly the opposite tends to happen. Those people who were unhappy and you took care of their problem or their complaint tend to become far more loyal to you than they were in the very beginning. Why? Because you were their go-to guy. You were the one who took care of them. You were there for them. That's what they're looking for. They want to feel important. The next one, customers enjoy complaining. Boy, I swear sometimes people really do. But in reality, no, that's not true. Complaining involves energy, time, inconvenience. Many times it costs in terms of gas, phone calls, postage, whatever. People don't like to complain. If they're complaining, they have an issue. We need to listen and find out what the issue is. The next one, we should make it difficult to complain so only the genuine cases get through. Again, false. Companies that encourage complaints retain approximately 10% more customers than those who don't. Why is that? Because they took the opportunity to make that unhappy customer a more loyal customer. We need to do this. And listening to the customers, taking action quickly is absolutely imperative. How quickly do you respond to customer complaints? Studies show that those companies who respond to customer complaints within 24 hours of initial contact have an 87% chance of making a far more loyal customer out of that contact. If that 24 hours stretches out to 48 hours, chances are cut in half. We now have a 47% chance of retaining that customer. And if it stretches out to 72 hours, we are now down to a 23% chance of retaining that customer. Now, I'm not saying that we have to completely resolve their issues within 24 hours. I am saying that we have to get in touch with them, make a plan of action, at least let them know what we're going to be doing. Mrs. Smith, just wanted to get in touch with you, let you know that I don't have an answer for you right now, but I'm working on it, I'm making some phone calls, and I'll be in touch with you tomorrow morning to tell you what we're going to do to resolve your problem. Now the customer has a new level of expectation. They know that you're working on it. That's important to them. As a wrap-up to providing great customer service, there's a lot of things that we can do to increase the level of customer service that we provide to our customers. And they're all little things. It's picking up after ourselves. It's listening to the customer to find out what they're saying, to truly determine what their concerns are. It's checking back with them to find out if your level of service was satisfactory to them. It's cleaning up after yourself on a job. It's how you handle yourself. It's all these little things that make a big difference. And I've said it earlier, I'll repeat it again. As a company owner, it is you who sets the pace within your company. It is you that the employees are watching. They will emulate what you do. I challenge you to do that today. If you don't care about your customers, you do things to make it look like you don't care about your customers. They will not care about your customers. You set the pace. Set the bar high. Challenge every person within your company to pay attention to those little things, to do those little things that mean a lot. Thank you.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day Basic Business Bootcamp continues to help contractors learn how to run profitable businesses. For more information on our ProfitMax software and or our 3-day Basic Business Bootcamps, simply call or write Grandy and Associates or check us out on the web. The address is www.grandyassociates.com. The address is the same as in the past, but the website has been totally redesigned in terms of its content. You can now order online, view bootcamp locations, and even sign up for a class online. Take a look as you have time. It might just increase your bottom line profit a bit. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy and Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.